everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Don't Go Broke Trying. I'm your host, Rennie, and we are going to do a dilemma episode. And these episodes are short mini-sodes where I basically have my guest and I answer some questions that you have submitted or questions that I found on Reddit about the topic that we talked about in the previous episode. So I have a very special guest here today, Dilapo. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So Dilapo and I just wrapped up an episode where we were talking about basically how she was able to go to university for free, got a lot of scholarships, and she was able to graduate debt-free. So that's about $50,000 in scholarships. Yep. So we are going to be talking about that and answering questions that we have from Reddit today. So if you would like your questions answered in a future episode, feel free to email us at dgbt@rennietheresource.com, and it can be completely anonymous. And I'll leave those that information in the description box. So let's get into this episode. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I also want to emphasize that this is not financial advice. We are just giving our personal opinions and our personal takes on what we would do in these situations. I'm very excited to say that this podcast is brought to you in partnership with Lemonade Finance. If you don't know already, Lemonade is the platform I have been partnering with for over a year now, and they are doing the damn thing when it comes to sending money internationally. Lemonade is a mobile app that allows users in Canada and the UK to send money to Ghana, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Senegal, Benin, Cameroon, Tanzania, Rwanda, and Kenya at zero fee. Yes, I said zero fee, and not only are there no fees, but the transfers are sent in minutes. People I've sent money to in Nigeria have received funds in just 1 or 2 minutes. It's really quick. You can use my referral code XLRennie to sign up, and if you're in Canada, you'll get 10% cash back when you make a single transfer of 100 Canadian dollars or more to supported African countries. If you're in the UK, you'll get 10% cash back capped at £50 when you make a single transfer of £100 or more to supported African countries. And if you're not in Canada or the UK, don't worry, I didn't forget you. They are growing rapidly and will likely be in your country soon. Again, if you want to sign up, you can use my code or you can use the link in the show notes. Now, let's get back to this week's episode. So, dilemma number one. International students, how the F did you finance your education? I'm utterly speechless. I just exchanged a few emails with the International Center and they told me that private loans for international students are not available, which sobered me up real quick. Great, then what the F am I gonna do? I'm extremely frustrated since I would have loved to get into art fundamentals and then try to get into a CA program. But after this, what am I supposed to do now? Do I just give up on school? That would be awful. How did you guys manage to finance tuition and stuff? Did you sell your left kidney or what? They told me that students are permitted to work study, but it's not even covering 1/5 of the cost for international students. Also, there are only partial scholarships available that cover a few thousand dollars a year. So is this it? Is this where my dream ends? I'm actually sad right now.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm so sorry that's the situation. It's completely not fair, the amount of tuition that international students have to pay. So completely hear you. Mm-hmm. Please do not sell your left kidney as well. Cause
please.
You need both.
Yes.
I will say, like, right off the bat with this situation, this person can consider, like, when it comes to, like, the 20 hours that you are, like, allowed to work, really consider which, like, roles you are partaking in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Working 20 hours in retail is completely different than if you were working 20 hours as, like, you know, either, like, as, like, an admin assistant or something like that.
Very
so
true, yeah.
I would encourage, like, anyone in this situation to be selective on the work you do. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes it's like, okay, well, like, I don't have work experience. How can I qualify for, like, a role in, like, an office job?
Yeah.
But again, like we had mentioned in the past episodes, like, shoot your shot. There are a number of, like, things like, I know, like, banks, especially, like, smaller credit unions, mm-hmm. are, like, more likely to allow, like, a student to be their, like, admin assistant or, like a front clerk as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Another thing to also consider is a number of like physiotherapists or like
very true, yeah.
Very like they're like medical services, but like not in like a clinic or
yeah. You wouldn't need like a degree to
yeah. They also take students as employer. And they pay way more than what minimum wage would be.
Yeah.
And so that's one way to kind of like maximize earning potential mm-hmm. on that end. So that's one. Another approach I would suggest is when it comes to the scholarship front, and I know it's hard, is whatever university you're already going to, again, summer, spring, winter, and fall, look at the scholarships being offered and try to understand, okay, what do I need to do mm-hmm. in order to get these scholarships and start planning ahead, whether that's like you need to boost your grades or you need to boost like your involvement in your campus community or whatever else that like might require of you. Yeah. Because I know that, yes, it's limited for international students, but if you are very targeted and like, I know someone who was able to do this is that they became very targeted on like the scholarships they were applying to in engineering and got like thousands mm-hmm. Because they repeatedly applied, right? And yeah, so that's what I would suggest. The security will never be there. I'm sorry for mm-hmm. that. But if you're consistent, like semester by semester with like a few of the recommendations, I think it would make it a bit easier. And then the last thing I would say is like, there is no rush. I think even for myself, I had to explain to myself and to my parents too that, yo, I am not graduating in 4 years. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
For real, though, because the pressure I know is different for international students, but you are allowed to take breaks in between here and there, right? Mm. Either it's like one semester off, two semester off. And again, you could really use that time to own your craft, make more money, and then put that towards paying off tuition and other mm-hmm. kind of expenses.
And one thing I would say as well is you can actually, during the summertime, you can actually work full time.
Yeah.
So while maybe this during the school year, you can only work 20 hours, during the summertime, I need you to maximize completely. Right? So just as you said, maybe you're working that admin assistant job during the year, getting maybe 20 an hour, 21 an hour. But then during summers, you can get a job in tech as a intern. You can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like during my internships, I was making pretty good money. Mm-hmm. And I actually used that to fund a 5-month internship in Thailand. So, you know, like I feel like maybe I'm sorry because, yeah, it is hard. Mm-hmm. And the fees that they charge are criminal. They're pretty criminal.
Yeah.
They're like, it's like triple ours, domestic students.
And then when you think about conversion rate from whatever country.
Ooh, yeah. Like naira to dollars.
It's like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Millions naira. Of naira.
Ooh. Yeah. I didn't think of that. Yeah. So my advice or my take would be to, okay, during the school year, make sure your grades are up so you can qualify for those scholarships. Make sure you're involved in your school. Try to get a job that's a little bit higher paying than minimum wage if you can, but then during those summers, that's when you really have to maximize it. Yeah. I know it's difficult. Some people go for like payday loans, but those are very predatory loans and they can actually cause you a lot of harm long term. The interest rates don't make any sense. So if you can maximize that summer, get internships from your first year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would do. Okay. Next question. Am I the asshole for quitting my unpaid internship?
Oh, no. No, you're not.
Okay.
The person that's the asshole is the person not paying you for having you as an intern.
Facts.
Please.
Okay, they gave some background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I did an unpaid internship. It's not it. Okay. I, 21 non-binary person based in East Asia, started an unpaid work-from-home internship while I continue to look for a regular job in my field.
Okay.
My dad had called this opportunity volunteering since there was no compensation of any sort, only experience and a LOR given at the end of the internship after 4 months.
Okay.
This is a 3-person organization, so it's a small company, and I was fairly aware of the work I will be doing. A few weeks in, and this starts to feel like a regular job with long hours. I and 2 other interns were essentially doing research, preparing content, and undertaking projects that would be paid approximately $800 to $1,000, which is quite a bit of money in their country. Once I worked for 10 days straight with no off days because they were project deadlines. Remember, unpaid. Remember this, unpaid. During the time I worked, I always made sure to do my work by Saturday so I could at least have my Sunday free. I struggle with both depression and anxiety, and it can get overwhelming at times. There were no fixed hours, and we would get messages from our manager at 11:30 p.m. Mm? There were expectations to be professional and have integrity, and that sometimes work has to be prioritized. Unpaid internships are extremely common in my country. I've done two of these during college, but I got credit for those, like school credit. Mm. I started feeling demotivated as there was no return on my time and hard work. I had planned to give a two-week notice so that projects would not be affected. However, our responsibilities were set to increase and my projects would have just been unending. I sent a notice to my manager and politely explained that I cannot continue working anymore. They sent an email back saying that he hopes I'm aware of the fact that our projects are underway and that the three-person work will fall on the other two interns. I replied that due to reasons I can't disclose, I am unable to continue working for the remaining months. Because this internship was so consuming of my time and energy, my personal projects have been halted. So many expectations in return for zero pay. I spent hours doing valuable research to only get learning and experience in the end. It was an amiable parting with the organization, but my friend believes that I am the asshole for leaving them midway with no heads up and a lot of burden. There was no contract or information provided that stated that we need to have a two-week notice or that we cannot quit before the 4 months are over. So am I the asshole?
No, you are not the asshole.
At all.
At all. Zero. In yeah. No dimension or at all.
We don't condone unpaid internships.
Uh-uh. Especially given like the way the person mentioned that they gave notice, they provided so many also like working 10 days without like a break and things like that.
Yeah.
You are definitely not the asshole. Please take the time for your health.
Yeah.
Anxiety and depression is very real and do not minimize your own experience or the toll that takes on you.
Don't be gaslit by these people.
Don't. And there are definitely, yes, I know a lot of countries like internships are unpaid.
Yes.
But I would say the beauty of what's come out of the pandemic is the fact that now a lot of companies also offer remote internships paid. Yes. Right. And so I would encourage for this person, if you are looking to, you know, go back to work again when you are feeling like okay, definitely start looking at internships that are outside of your country and that are remote.
Yes.
If you're actively looking for one right now, one of my jobs is actually hiring. And so just like, like check me out on LinkedIn and send me a message and more than happy to send you the application for an intern role. So never, ever, ever, like your mental health and emotional health is like more important than any project. Yes. Like last, if you're not saving lives, it's not that important.
Like yo, I actually had to tell myself this at my old job. I was like, I'm literally in marketing. Like what? I don't need to get this done by 6 p.m. Tomorrow's another day, you know? And no one's going to die if I don't do this. So, my opinion on this is that nobody could even pay me to work 10 days straight anyway. So the fact that you're not even getting paid is absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry that you're experiencing this burnout because I've gone through it. It's not fun. I feel like I'm still recovering from it. Like and burnout's not just something that you can recover from in days or weeks or a month off. Like it takes a long time. So I think you did the right thing by quitting. You are not the asshole. You are very well justified in quitting. And for anyone who's listening, you don't need a reason that agrees with your employer to leave a place of work. You can just leave. If it's not agreeing with you anymore, you could just leave. It's very simple.
And one thing I realized, I think that a friend told me is, or I can't remember who did, but I always keep this in mind is that companies aren't loyal to us.
Oh my goodness.
You do not have to be loyal to them.
Yeah.
You do not.
I listened to the Receipts podcast and one of the hosts was saying that like if you were to die tomorrow, God forbid, obviously, if you were to die tomorrow,
they'd find her, they'd have the job posting up the next day.
Exactly.
So please value yourself. Please value yourself. Okay. I think, yeah, please take time to yourself. Okay. Next question or next dilemma. Is $35,000 a year for college a bad idea? First gen college student. So paying $35,000 a year for college.
Per year?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Per year. I have some context. And the reason I brought this question to you was because, again, you were able to go debt-free, but this person's going to incur $35,000 a year.
Per year times four.
Minimum, right?
That's so, $140,000.
Yes. Yes. So let's get into it. I'm in love with the school, but Lord have mercy, that feels like a lot of money. It is, by the way. This covers my room and board, plus my tuition and extra expenses like books. This is after financial aid, with the original price being $63,000 a year just for tuition. I want to know what school this is.
I was going to say, is it Ivy League?
This is after. Oh, wait. I also want to add, I'm a computer science and business double major. I need all the advice I can get. I'm first generation and low income. Mm. My parents have excellent credit scores, but I don't know if this is a bad choice. I also don't know much about how loans work. I love the school. I love the people, but is it a good choice? And people, they also added a clarification. This is an out-of-state school. So they're in the States. This is an out-of-state school. I'm from the Boston area, and the school I'm talking about is Temple University. I don't think that's Ivy, is it?
No.
No. I can admit I am jaded by the school, and I do have cheaper options in-state. So what are your thoughts? Is $35,000 a year for college a bad idea?
It is a bad idea. It's a very bad idea.
I would agree with
you. It's a very bad idea. And I say that three times because the Nigerian in me is like, did you hear what I said? And first of all, I want to acknowledge this person for, you know, going after what they want and, like, you know, building out their career and really thinking about it, because it does take a lot. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I want them to consider, actually not one thing, a few things. $140,000 is a lot of money that you do not need to be spending at, like, what, maybe an average of 18, 19. Like, by the time you even finish university, you're only, what, 22 max, 23 max?
22 and $140,000 debt.
Yeah, and $140,000 debt, that will definitely take a toll on your mental and emotional health.
Yeah.
And so save your future self that heartache. But in order to get that degree, computer and business, it was, number one, that's excellent choice. That is a combination of those two, like, perfect.
You're getting money when you graduate.
Huge money when you graduate. That being said, given the fact that the person mentioned that they are from a low income family, as well as what they want to study, please look into scholarships. You literally, I don't want to say the cards, but you literally have a lot of cards in your favor, in the sense that there are, number one, either organizations or professional groups that have dedicated money to help students like you out, so that you do not have to spend so much going to university. Like, you can still, like, go to, like, that university, but find options on how you can get it covered for. So, you know, start looking for, like, in your states, scholarships specific for students from low income neighborhoods. Also look at scholarships specific for
first generation.
If you're someone of color as well, like, whatever race you're in, like, specifically put that in Google, and you will find that there are a number of scholarships out there as well. I know that I thought the person was Canadian at first, because I was going to say Shopify literally has a program that they will pay for your school and give you a job right after for, like, as a developer.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that, like Google, Amazon,
the big companies are there,
the fangs, like, from Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix and Google. They probably all have programs that you can apply for that will cover your university and get you a job after. So please look into that.
Yeah.
I really like where your head is at, but you have options.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, at least they're studying a degree that, like, it's kind of sure that you'll get a solid job, unlike some others that I'm not going to mention. But so that's one thing that's good for you. But the other, like, on the other hand, you have to realize that you're going into that's a lot of debt. It's not just like, and I feel like in the States, they have full ride scholarships.
Yes.
So in Canada, I don't think we have as many as the States, but the States has a lot of full ride scholarships. So I would go wherever you can get a full ride scholarship, basically. And Temple University isn't even one of the top 20 universities in the country. So it's not like you're going to Harvard and you're going to spend that much money. It's like, because Harvard obviously comes with that name where it'll be even easier for you to get jobs. Mm-hmm. In this case, Not so much. So to me, it doesn't make sense in my opinion to go and take out that much debt, especially because you don't know how loans work. I hope that you would not go and get like a very predatory loan, because there are a lot of the system in Canada is one thing, but in the States, the loan system is
another beast.
Yeah. One of the comments actually said, "Very few programs are worth their price. Most programs are commoditized. Remember, these colleges are businesses and not some institution that's trying to serve the public good. Every one of them is trying to sell you. An admissions counselor is basically a salesperson, so don't be fooled by the invest in your education talk. Definitely get an education, but maximize for potential outcome while keeping costs low." And I totally agree. Like, I got into four different universities across Ontario, but I decided to go to the one that was closest to my house. And it was also the most affordable of the business schools. It still has a great name. And honestly, nobody ever cares where I went to school.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Literally nobody cares. So I would say don't do this. Yeah. Please. Don't do this. You could make a lot of money post-grad. I'm not saying you won't, but you could also make that money and not be in debt, because of course your first salary is going to go all to paying off this debt.
And you still got
to
live, like pay your rent, pay so much.
That too. Yeah. And remember that $140,000 is just the principal. You're not considering the interest that they're going to charge you on that. So yeah. Okay. Next question. Has anyone negotiated scholarships yet? I have scholarship offers from two schools I know I'm not going to attend. That's nice. Nice place to be in. I want to try and use these offers to ask the school I plan to attend to match the highest one, or for anything really. I didn't receive any scholarship money from the school that I plan to attend, but I'm 100% sure that I am attending it. Has anyone negotiated a scholarship yet? I still don't have the financial breakdown from a majority of my schools, but need to start getting ready to negotiate so I can start to withdraw and get these scholarships to other people ASAP. Okay, first, I didn't even know that negotiating scholarships was a thing.
It is a thing.
Okay, this is another tip that everyone needs to write down.
You can negotiate your scholarship, especially if you have like counter offers. It's just like if you had like a job offer, you can negotiate with whatever school. I think especially if it's like a postgraduate degree for like master's or like PhD.
This person's in med school.
So I know from, so I don't have experience in this, mm-hmm. but from like speaking to like my mentor, she mentioned this to me of like how she was able to do it. So basically I would encourage the person to like, you can do that.
Wow.
Mention that, okay, yeah, you would really like to go to XYZ because of XYZ reasons, but have XYZ offer. Are they willing to match it? Mm. But also, again, really highlighting why you want to go to like that school. It's just like a job, right? Yeah. Where it's like, oh, you know what? Love the position, love the work culture, all of that stuff. And then you slide it in the middle of that, like, yeah, but you know,
I have this offer from this company, but I would really love to work at your company.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't have to mention like the other school, but do mention that you already have other offers that are more lucrative.
Yeah.
And if they have sense, they would match it, if not surpass it, because they also, again, being a part of the school is their brand as well, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You have a lot to offer to them.
Yeah. I think the important thing is that there's no harm in asking, no matter what. We always say this, like, shoot your shot, because the worst they can say is no. Mm-hmm. I was actually reading through the comments because I have no opinions because I have never negotiated a scholarship before. But somebody responded, earlier this month, I told my number one choice about a great scholarship that I got to another school. I just recently got their financial aid and they ended up giving me a better scholarship. Nice. And so they emailed that person. They emailed the school and said, hey, I got this. And then they matched this and they actually left the exact script that they used.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I will make sure to leave this in the show notes so you can actually copy and paste. And if anyone wants to negotiate their scholarship, feel free to use it. And they said they sent it to the financial aid department, but they did mention that if you have the personal contact information of someone in admissions, that could be even better. That's what they said. Yeah. So
that's money cool. is not a scarce resource. It honestly Ooh. Isn't.
That's a mindset, though. You
it's
know?
A mindset.
That's a mindset. You have a abundant mindset, where some people have more of a limited. Yeah. Okay. We have another question. Am I the asshole for wanting to blow my scholarship money? I, 19 male, was fortunate enough to have been given a full ride merit scholarship to my school. I'm currently a sophomore. My parents' income puts us solidly in the rich enough to not worry about college, but not enough to not care about it class. Mm-hmm. My school normally costs $78,000 a year. What kind of school is
this? Or is this, maybe is it the U.S.?
I guess so. Okay. I'm guessing. My school normally costs $78,000 a year, and my dad had wired me the money for the first semester's payment back in spring 2019. Okay, wow. They said rich enough. You're definitely rich enough to not care about school. If your dad can wire you $78,000. Anyways, so he sent me half of the cost for first year so I could pay for the first semester. Once he found out about the scholarship, he was very proud and said I could keep the $78,000. And then he continued to send the payments each semester for me to save. I had a wild freshman year and I blew through about $30,000 buying anything and everything. Dad was not happy at all. Now he's threatening to cut off all future payments unless I stop spending so much. He said he will stop if I spend more than $5,000 per year. He said I'm being ungrateful and entitled, which I obviously don't agree with since I earned the money, but I want an external opinion. So, am I the asshole for wanting to blow my scholarship money?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I couldn't even be serious while you were reading this. I was just laughing.
Like, what? Yes. 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 That's it. That's the answer. Yes.
I don't even know if there's a need to explain.
Like, clearly his head is somewhere else.
Somewhere in the clouds.
Yeah, I actually don't understand. I'm not understanding. And the overall vote on this was yes, you are the asshole.
Yeah.
And yeah, literally every person said yes. How did you manage to blow through that much? Yeah, 30K in a semester.
In uni? Like, what are your expenses? Mind you already have a full ride. Yeah. A full ride covers food, tuition, books, and living. So what were you?
I'm trying to find someone who disagrees, but like, yeah, every single person mm-hmm. is saying you are the asshole. Someone said, why is this even a question? Yeah. This guy's clearly, their head's somewhere mm-hmm. in the clouds. Okay, next question. I'm on a full-time student internship until the end of August 2022. What should I do with the money? I just finished my third year of university and now I'm taking a year off to do an internship. I live with my parents, so I don't need to worry about rent. Currently, the internship is virtual. Oh, perfect. With the possibility of going in person in September. As of right now, I don't have a car, but I might need one in September. I plan to put the money in my EQ Bank savings account and not spend it on shit that I don't need. What else should I do with my money? What kind of investment options should I check out to get more of my money? I also want to say that I'm heavily dependent on OSAP, so I don't want to do something that will mess that up when I go to university in September 2022.
Sorry, what's OSAP?
Ontario Student Assistance Plan. So it's basically the loans that we get for student loans in Ontario.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Great question. Congratulations on your internship. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And great questions that you're asking. I might defer the investment piece to you because yeah. that's your expertise. But on my end, what I will say is maybe consider putting some of that money towards OSAP right now.
Yeah.
Because again, that's debt that you do not need to carry if you already have the money to pay for it. So that's mm-hmm. one way to consider it. And then really assess, like, do you need the car or is it just because you now have the money and you're like, oh, I need a car. So yeah. If it's something that you know, like, because cars depreciate, then you need to fix it. There's insurance. There's gas. Like, so many expenses yeah. will come up.
It's not an asset.
No. as you have it. So highly consider putting that money towards OSAP. And then, like, you can go on the investment piece.
Yeah. When it comes to the investment piece, I would say that when it comes to the investment piece, I will say that when you have OSAP loans, so you're getting student funding, they're looking at how much money you currently have, and they're looking at what is in your tax-free savings account and in your RRSP as well. So technically, if you start investing, it could lower the amount of loans that you could get next year.
Oh,
yeah. A lot of people don't know that. So I think it's wise to invest, obviously, because, you know, you can get a gain on your money. If you can invest for the next 4 years, that's like... Or he's in third. They're third in third year. So the next year or so, you probably won't get that much short term, though. That's the thing. So it depends on your goals. If you have a goal of being debt free when you graduate, you would just put that straight to OSAP. Or you would save it in your high interest savings account with EQ Bank. And then once you graduate, pay all of the debt off, because mm-hmm. there's a grace period of 6 months, I believe, where you don't have to pay any interest.
Okay.
So I would just pay it all off. But if you are someone who is going to hold those loans, I know a lot of people like to hold their loans long term because the interest rate is like 2 or 3%. And okay. you know, you can get a higher rate you can typically grow your money faster in the stock market. Some people like to invest instead.
But the stock market right now?
Yeah, that's true. But you have to have a long-term horizon for the stock market, because it's crying right now. We're stressed about it, you know. But so I would say it depends on your goals. Me, I don't like big debts like this, so I would pay it off. But it depends on you. Yeah. I think everyone said, someone said, if you need the money in the next few years, investing to potentially get a few extra bucks isn't worth the risk of potentially losing a lot in the end. Don't ever invest money you can't afford to lose in the short term. Mm. Yes, that is a good point, because investing should be for the long term, at least 3, 4, 5 to 50 years. Like that's your investment horizon, typically. So if you need the money to pay back your loans next year, don't invest it, please. Just keep it in your high interest savings account. And that's the one with EQ Bank that I love. I'll leave my affiliate link down below if you want to.
That's how I got started.
Really?
Yeah.
I love to see it. Okay, we have one more question. The last question is, am I the asshole for applying to a prestigious college scholarship despite being wealthy and not needing it?
Yes. Sorry. I don't even need to think about it. Yes, you are. Is there more questions?
There's a lot more. Okay. I'm a senior in high school. Earlier this year, I applied to a prestigious and selective merit-based scholarship, and just a few weeks back found out I was accepted. I posted the acceptance letter on my Instagram story, and a lot of people responded, mostly with congratulations. One girl, let's call her Amanda, actually sent me a bunch of angry DMs about my stealing the scholarship. For some background info, I'd say I come from a pretty wealthy family. My parents both work in high-up positions in big IT firms, and thus I've had all the benefits and perks of being rich, going to exclusive private schools, getting tutors for subjects I'm naturally bad at, and being able to engage in extracurricular activities that cost lots of money, like national-level travel teams for lacrosse and rowing, national-level debates, and stock investing. Okay. So essentially, for all intents and purposes, I have absolutely no need for the scholarship to pay for college. The real reason I applied was for the prestige of getting the scholarship. A lot of colleges, Ivies for example, announce decisions late-ish March. So if I got the scholarship and put it on my application, it would look impressive and help me on my application. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Given it's a merit-based scholarship, anybody can apply for. There are specific scholarships for low-income people, minorities, whatever. I don't like how he said whatever, but Amanda sees it the opposite way. She thinks that even though anyone can apply, I should have refrained from applying and let someone who actually needed the money get the scholarship. So, am I the asshole for applying to a pretentious college scholarship despite being wealthy and not needing it?
Yes, you are. Amanda's
your
right.
Your opinion didn't change.
Amanda's right. Reason being is that, yes, it's merit-based, but the person also acknowledged that the reason that they got the scholarship is because their parents literally, like, gave them the way to be able to apply for it.
Oh, yes.
Think about that, you know? Like, all of this, you know, extracurricular activities, like, whether it's the lacrosse, the debate, or those private tutoring sessions, that's advanced. Like, you've had all the advantages to even get into the university in the first place. Yeah. And now you don't even need the money. Mm-hmm. You're taking, that's funds that could be allocated to someone who actually needs it more than you do. Like, it's kind of selfish. Yeah. It's very selfish.
Yeah. I didn't even think of it that way. Because you said, yeah, like, the reason that you have all these extracurriculars is because of your parents.
It's because of your parents.
Yeah.
And your parents can already, like the person mentioned, your parent. It would be one thing if your parents can't afford to send you to that school.
Or they're not going, or they choose not to.
Or they choose not to, right? But your parents are going to pay for it as, like, already.
Yeah.
And so why have that scholarship when, again, even with merit-based scholarship, the goal is to help someone who needs it.
Okay, so on this one, the vote was no assholes here. So usually it's like you are the asshole, you're not the asshole. This one is like a neutral setting. Like,
oh, okay.
So some people said, yes, you are the asshole. Some people said, no, you're not the asshole. So someone said, you're the asshole. For you, the scholarship was nothing more than gilding the lily, something you could brag about, even though you didn't need it. And it sounds to me as if you know that. For someone else, that money could easily be the difference between going or not going to college. Again, it sounds like you already know all this and you're hoping someone will disagree with you. That's true. That is very true. And I really didn't like his statement when he said there are specific scholarships for low-income people, minorities, whatever. Like, what?
It's not whatever.
And this person said, check your privilege, because this sounds extremely snotty, especially tossing off that whatever, which just reeks of being dismissive of anyone not of your social class. It's possible to be a minority from a low-income family and still qualify for the scholarship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not like someone can be from a low-income family and still not partake in those other activities that you did. They just probably worked 2 times, if not 10 times as hard. But you've taken that away from them as well.
Yeah. So we're gonna have to say you're the asshole. Yeah. Sorry about it. Not sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But okay. Well, those are all the questions that I had. Okay. Thank you for answering them.
No problem.
And if you want to plug yourself one more time so that people know where to find you on this episode.
Yes, you can find me on LinkedIn. The name is Dolapo Fadare. Dolapo Fadare. And if you want to catch the vibes and like career opportunities, scholarships to apply to, I post regularly on my stories for that at StriveUp, StriveUpp. And thank you so much for having me.
And I will leave all those links in the show notes to make sure that everyone can find you easily. And make sure you follow her page, because she's posts so many scholarships.
So many,
and I'm like, wow. She's the plug. Honestly, the plug. Like,
thank you.
Dolapo the resource, basically. But thank you, everyone. If you got this far, thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week where I'll be interviewing someone as well, and we'll teach you how to not go broke. If you want to follow me on all my platforms, you can do that. I'll make sure to leave those on the in the show notes. I keep forgetting the name. I'll leave them in the show notes. Okay, thank you, and have a great day, everyone. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something new that will help you not go broke. If you like listening to this podcast, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you're listening, and leave us a review. You should also share the love. We don't believe in hoarding knowledge over here, so if you learned something, take a screenshot and share this podcast on your Instagram story, tagging at Don't Go Broke Trying and at XLRennie. I would love to reshare. You can use the hashtag DGBTpod on Twitter to continue the conversation. And if you have a dilemma or a question about money that you would like answered, please email us at dgbt@rennytheresource.com.
This episode was brought to you by Lemonade Finance. Use my code EXORENNIE for 10% cash back. This episode was produced by Pascal Adeshina with music by Wonder Girl.